This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. Iraqis involved in the effort to write a new constitution said today that completing the document in 6 months, the goal set by Secretary of State Colin L. Powell last week, will be impossible to meet because of differences over how to select the drafters and more profound disagreements over the role of Islamic law in a new political system. A committee of lawyers, scholars, and religious figures that was supposed to propose a way to select delegates to a constitutional convention has not been able to agree on a preferred method, according to members of the country's governing council and others familiar with the process. Senior American military officials say that as much as 650,000 tons of ammunition remains at thousands of sites used by the former Iraqi security forces, and that much of it has not been secured and will take years to destroy. The scope of the problem is much larger than the Pentagon acknowledged 3 weeks ago, when senior military officials insisted that all known munition sites in Iraq had been secured. The White House Monday rejected Democratic calls for a special prosecutor to probe allegations that it exposed a covert agent to punish a critic, saying the Department of Justice could handle it fairly. White House spokesman Scott McClellan also denied that chief political strategist Karl Rove played a role, saying Rove had personally assured him that he was not involved. Several Democrats called for a special counsel outside of the Justice Department to conduct the investigation, but the White House has rejected the proposal. Billionaire philanthropist George Soros, whose foundation's network has given $1 billion around the world to various causes to help tackle poverty and disease, has called for a Bush regime change. Soros told BBC Radio 4's United Nations or Not program that the U.S. would only stop pursuing extremist policies if there was a change at the White House. Mr. Soros added that there is a false ideology behind the policies of the Bush administration and has created a $75 million fund under the auspices of a media group called ACT for the purpose of keeping Bush from being reelected. More IE America Network News after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A 6-foot-tall, 150-pound statue of Mr. Potato Head was stolen Friday from the driveway of a private estate in Newport, Rhode Island. So far, no ransom note has been found. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
a good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
It's 2003. Do you know where you are? Not the physical you, you're right there. But the little digital you that banks, credit card firms, insurance companies, brokerage houses, and other corporations have created from personal information that they've gleaned from you. Information you thought was private. For example, how much liquor have you charged to your credit card? What's your net worth? Have you missed a loan payment? Are you taking medicine for a sexual problem? What's your monthly take-home? Did you make a series of one-nighter trips to Las Vegas last year? All this and more is collected by your financial institutions, and thanks to a little-known law that Congress passed 4 years ago, these institutions now can share all of your personal data, compile it into a detailed profile, and store this digital you inside their computers. But they don't stop there. The Graham-Leach-Bliley Act lets them give you to all of their conglomerate affiliates and to sell you to other corporations under joint marketing agreements. The digital you is their slave, and the actual you doesn't know which corporations have you or what they're doing with you. You can thank former Senator Phil Graham for this theft of your privacy. At the behest of the industry, which coincidentally just happened to be his major campaign funder, Phil dutifully maneuvered this body-snatching bill into law. Graham left the Senate last year and was rewarded with, what else, a fat cat job with a giant financial firm that had lobbied for this bill. This is Jim Hightower saying, if you think that these privacy invaders should not be allowed to use and sell your personal information without getting permission from you in writing, you are not alone. People all across the country are outraged and pushing for action to stop the privacy snatchers. There's both a bill and an initiative in California that would outlaw this corporate intrusion. If it passes there, other states will follow. To join this fight for privacy, go to californiaprivacy.org.
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah,
yes,
I was
know.
Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces the phone number here, 800-TALK-YES, 800-825-5937, or email during the program, MikeDMalloy at earthlink.net. The question I think a lot of us are thinking, is that the right word, entertaining, is that this is the beginning of the end of the Bush administration, the Bush crime family. Nixon had Watergate, and Bush apparently has this horrendous CIA Karl Rove, and yeah, I'm going to use Karl Rove's name because nobody farts in the White House without Karl Rove issuing a fart ticket and knowing when the person's going to fart. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so this is Karl Rove's baby. I don't care who denies it. It doesn't make any difference to me. It's Karl Rove's. If Karl Rove didn't make the phone call, then he ordered the phone calls, plural. But anyway, if there is justice anywhere in the universe, this will be the downfall of this criminal, corrupt, filthy administration. This event. Even the right-wingers have their bloomers in a wad. Everybody from right-wing commentators to thuggish, snake-pit-like websites such as Newsmax.com, all of them. Now, I don't watch Fox, so I don't know what's going on at Fox. Fox is still probably doing for Bush what Monica did for Clinton. But this is a scandal that is ballooning. Now, what is interesting, a lot of people are saying, God, this was revealed in July. Here it is. Tomorrow's October. What happened? Why? First of all, why did it take 3 months, 2.5 months? Secondly, why is everybody focusing on this? Why is this thing exploded? Well, aside from the fact that it puts in jeopardy the lives of nobody will ever know how many people globally. We don't know how many people. Valerie Plame, the wife of Joe Wilson, had contact with in how many countries? We don't know. That's the nature, and we'll never know. That's the nature of this kind of work, the work that she was involved in. But aside from the fact that it puts in jeopardy the very lives of no one knows how many people, It is a total kick in the crotch by the Bush crime family to the CIA. The CIA that bent over backwards to do what these thugs asked them to do regarding false and phony and fake intelligence to get us into the war in Iraq to begin with. But there's another reason, I think, why this thing has flamed up beyond belief. Well, not beyond belief, but to the degree that it has. I think the country, especially in the chattering classes, especially the inside the Beltway crowd in the New York Times and the LA Times and the Miami Herald and the Chicago Tribune, again, I'm not talking about individual writers at these newspapers. God bless them. But the editorial boards of these newspapers that have either tacitly or directly or explicitly supported this crime family since the very beginning, since the theft of the election in 2000. They've had enough. I think even the editorial boards of these major newspapers are starting to realize what kind of filth and slime and thuggery they have been supporting. And you want to see somebody get really pissed off, double-cross a journalist, double-cross an editorial board. Especially if that editorial board or that journalist has put himself or herself through contortions to try to make your worthless ass look like you amounted to something, which is precisely what has been going on. We have been complaining and whining and bleating and yelling and screaming and pounding things here, you and I, for the past 3 years about the venal U.S. media, about the gutless Democratic leadership, about the inability of the fourth estate, so-called, in this country to rise to what it has assumed over the past 200 years to be the watchdogs of liberty, to be the watchdogs of freedom, to make sure that A, criminal enterprise did not take over this country, but if B, it did, then to expose it, and C, run its filthy, cur-like ass out of Washington. Maybe that's what's happening. Maybe that's what's happening. This is a story that's not going to go away. This is a story that will not be spun. I watch Rich Bond on, what's his name? The guy on, who is it, Kathy, on MSNBC? Not O'Reilly, the other one. Jesus, I can't keep it. No, the other one. I can't keep him straight. Chris Matthews. I watch Rich Bond twisting in the wind from the questions Chris Matthews was asking him today, just twisting in the wind. The poor, miserable rat think sitting there trying to defend this corrupt administration. It's astonishing. Now, the Crisco kid, John Ashcroft, has launched a criminal investigation into who may have leaked the classified identity of Valerie Plame. Karl Rove ran Ashcroft's unsuccessful senatorial reelection campaign back in 2000. Karl Rove is a killer. Karl Rove is a vile, filthy man. Do you believe for half a second that Ashcroft's Justice Department is going to investigate this corrupt administration? Do you think Ashcroft is going to order an investigation of Karl Rove or Andrew Card or Douglas Feith or the rest of these worms that have eaten their way into our system? Do you think? Of course you don't. And neither do I. Scott McClellan, whom we are going to feature tonight coming up in just a few minutes, this poor miserable little punk being eviscerated by a White House press corps that all of a sudden realizes that, gee, they have an issue. The destruction of the environment wasn't an issue. The destruction of the economy wasn't an issue. The illegal attack on Iraq wasn't an issue. The Saudis flown out of this country 3 days after the bombing of the United States, that wasn't an issue. George W. Bush's illegal ascension to the Oval Office, that wasn't an issue. But all of a sudden, this is an issue. And some of the most mealy-mouthed little snakes that swirled around, used to swirl around Ari Fleischer. And when Ari Fleischer said, bark, they all went, woof, woof, woof. Scotty McClellan can't say bark the way Ari used to. So they're going after him. Scotty McClellan says at the White House, that would be George W. Bush or Karl Rove or Andrew Card or one of these punks, the White House has said it would cooperate in the probe, but it would not launch an internal inquiry. Can you believe this? Somebody commits a felony that may or has resulted in the deaths of we don't know how many people working with the CIA, and they refuse to launch an inquiry. You have six journalists who were called by these monsters. This was an act of revenge against Joe Wilson for telling the truth. You do not tell the truth in the Bush crime family. Charles Schumer, Democrat in New York, said what has gone on in this case is one of the most dastardly, despicable things that I've seen in my more than 20 years in Washington, and speaks to the lengths of how far some will go to stifle dissent. Come on, Charles, you can get tougher than that. Why don't you call them sons of bitches? Why don't you unloosen your tongue? Dastardly? Nobody says that, Carl. Come on, Charles. Nobody talks like that. Despicable? Come on, dude. Call it what it is. These are acts of treason. Schumer asked, when was the last time that a covert agent's name was leaked, jeopardizing that agent's life? The life of that agent's network of informants and the security of this country. This is not just another ordinary leak. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. This is a crime. This is a crime of astonishing proportion. Now, Bob Novak is lying through his teeth. All of a sudden, Novak realizes that he is in a fairly untenable position. How long before a CIA wet ops agent pays him a visit? Maybe what Robert Novak did is within the borders of the law. But Bob Novak exposed a CIA agent. Bob Novak exposed that agent's contacts. What do you suppose is going to happen to Bob Novak? The Democrats, not Republicans, the Democrats are asking for a special prosecutor. Can you imagine if this were Bill Clinton's chief of staff who had done this? Oh my God! You know, this is silence coming from Republicans around this issue. Oh, something was leaked that puts people's lives at risk. Oh well, that's tough in Washington. A senior official in this corrupt, filthy administration quoted Bush as saying, "I want to get to the bottom of this." During a meeting yesterday morning with a few top aides, including Karl Rove. Senior intelligence officials said yesterday, according to the Washington Post, that the CIA filed what they termed a crime report with the Justice Department in late July. What has happened since then? As far as the public is aware, nothing. Absolutely nothing. What has happened with the 911 investigation? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. What has happened with the investigation into the criminal acts of George Walker Bush? Everything from his being a military deserter to the rape charges against him in Texas. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. What happens if you bring that stuff up? Well, you're accused of, being a hater. You must hate George Bush. Yeah. That's pretty close to the mark. And it'll wash you away. It'll wash you away. Yeah, one day soon that dam is gonna break. And it'll wash you away. It'll wash you away. From me.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away Juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells Juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
One of the reasons people give for not buying LoJack is where they live. But that has little to do with whether your car will be stolen. It's where you drive. Do you drive to work? To a mall? To the city? That's why you need LoJack. Nationally, stolen vehicles that have LoJack are recovered over 90% of the time. And LoJack guarantees they'll recover your vehicle within 24 hours after you report it stolen to the police, or LoJack will reimburse you the cost of your LoJack system. See your car dealer or LoJack.com.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
The Radio Free Speech Zone.
And Zelenak in on the Radio Free Speech Zone. Joining us is the smarter, the better looking, the funnier of the Smothers Brothers, the more talented Tom Smothers. You have brought comedy and social commentary to the living room on the television screen with the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. Is there a place today for something like that, something where free speech can be intertwined with entertainment?
Free speech goes without saying, you would think, but we're censoring ourselves too much right now. The government has a point of view, and anybody disagrees with it, you're not patriotic, you're a treasonous, you don't agree with the government. Government's position, and that's what happened back in the 60s, and it's happening again now. So it's kind of depressing in that way.
They almost wrapped the First Amendment in an impermeable shell of patriotism.
Uh-huh, that's right. The only person that has a right to say anything is them. This is great to be up where people don't talk over you and be rude to you.
The Radio Free Speech Zone, Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. till 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday, Sunday, Sunday,
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday,
for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
I expect every member of this administration to stay well within the boundaries that define legal and ethical conduct. This means avoiding even the appearance of problems.
Oh, yeah, right. Sure, you moron. Mike Orlando emails in, as you speak, Wilson is on, Joe Wilson is on CNBC, and he seems confident Rove was behind all this. They, I think Mike means people on CNBC, seem to be trying to paint him as a Democrat operative or something by saying he gave $2,000 to Democrats. Ooh, To which Wilson replied he also contributed the same amount to the Bush-Cheney ticket. That's what's going to happen. The attack on Joe Wilson now is going to be unrelenting. That's what Fox is going to do. That's what the some of these cable networks are going to do. They're going to attack him because they are venal, conscienceless bastards, because they are totally amoral. Instead of focusing on how this happened and why it happened, and on this demon that sits in the White House on George Bush's ass, so that would be Karl Rove. No. Let's focus on Jill Wilson. Did you know he gave $2,000 to four or five different Democrats in the last election? Did you know that? Mouth-breathing thugs. I will be so glad when they are all gone. And I don't care at this point how they go. Marianne is calling, our bureau chief in Aurora, Illinois. Hey, Marianne.
Hey there, Mike. Well, I think this sort of turning of the worm comes from two sources. Now, I think that when you seriously mess with the CIA, I don't care if you are George Bush. It's not a safe thing to do.
No, the CIA will kill you. Look what they did to Kennedy.
But whatever. But I think the other thing, though, Mike, was that, now forget Fox and MSNBC, but, you know, as far as the regular broadcast media corporations are concerned, they didn't get what they bought and paid for. I don't think it's an accident that the poll numbers were going down.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, then the story started becoming negative when it became clear that they weren't going to get those FCC deregulations.
Right.
I'm sorry. I mean, and, you know, because this sort of this complete abnegation of their responsibilities, I'm talking about the press, started happening way before current Bush. I mean, come on, there was just a vast conspiratorial collection of people that got their tentacles into our judiciary system, that manufactured a crime, nearly impeached a president.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't news. The connections of Ken Starr and the Federalist Society and the SCAFE people.
Yeah, it didn't mean a thing.
That didn't even break
nope.
In any major newspaper.
Nope.
Maybe the Globe once.
Yeah.
That was like, if that wasn't news, what was? So they've been kind of asleep at the helm, if that's the way to put it.
Deliberately so.
Deliberately so, yeah, for a long time. As I've said before, two things happen in this country. One is much more common, and that's competition among elite.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, what's happening now. And I think that's kind of saved our collective butts on more than one occasion. Once in a while, you know, an awakened citizenry actually takes action. People
mm-hmm.
take to the streets. The women did it in the women's movement. The blacks did it for the civil rights. But that doesn't happen as often. And that's harder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what we're seeing is kind of like, you know, the result of thinking it's all on autopilot.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of our crack press corps, I think basically, you know, I don't think it's that you're right. The individual reporters aren't
mm-hmm.
Really different. It's just they find themselves not actively discouraged or even threatened anymore when
right.
they file their stories. And I think that's what you're going to see happening.
Yeah, good point. Good point. Marianne, thank you.
All right.
I appreciate you checking in. All right, quick break here. When we come back, Scotty McClellan and the crack White House press corps. You don't want to miss this. Stick around.
I stepped in the middle of seven sad forests. I've been out in front of a dozen dead oceans. I've been 10,000 miles in the mouth of a graveyard. And it's a hard rain is gonna fall.
Being tough is her job, and she does it well. She is the enforcer.
Hanging up, you're grounded. That means no phone.
Come on, it was only weed. I only did it once.
She doesn't love being tough. She's tough because she loves the enforcer.
When I say no weed, I mean no weed.
She's more than a hero. She's
A good mom.
Parents, the anti-drug. For information on how to keep your kids away from marijuana, visit theantidrug.com or call 1-800-788-2800.
Paid for by Office of National Drug Control Policy.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Thumbs down to the state of Minnesota's contract proposal to its two largest public employees unions. In a vote tabulated yesterday, nearly 30,000 Minnesota state employees overwhelmingly rejected state offers of two-year wage freezes and rising health insurance rates that would cost some workers as much as 7 weeks' wages. The vote clears the path for most public employees to strike, provided they alert the state 10 days in advance. However, both unions say they plan to continue to work toward a negotiated settlement. Preparing for a possible strike 2 weeks ago, Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty activated National Guard units who have since been training to take over in nursing homes and similar facilities. Essential employees like Minnesota's prison guards are barred from striking and will head into binding arbitration.
Workers at the UK's oldest shipyard have occupied the facility in protest of plans to close it. More than 500 workers at the Appledore shipyard in North Devon chained the gates on Sunday. By Monday, they'd moved heavy equipment to block the entrances, and a couple hundred community members joined the occupation. The shipyard's expected to file for bankruptcy today. So far, the police and the shipyard's owners have left the workers alone.
Fresh off of big wage and benefit reductions brought about by their company's bankruptcy, mechanics at U.S. Airways say they face another threat to their standard of living, job loss. U.S. Airways may soon farm out the heavy maintenance of its fleet of Airbus jets to the lowest bidder. The Mechanics Union, the International Association of Machinists, calls the bid a violation of its labor contract and says it's prepared to take whatever means necessary to prevent the loss of jobs, including a withdrawal of services. U.S. Airways employs about 5,000 mechanics and related employees, mostly in Pittsburgh and Charlotte, North Carolina.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Free radio, only with Mike Malloy.
Got an email here from George, North Carolina. Says he caught a few seconds of Fox where Hannity is talking about how Joe Wilson is an admitted liar and how can we trust anything he says, you see? And it's all over Democratic Underground that Rush Limbaugh, the pig man, said today he wouldn't be surprised if Clinton was behind this leak. Yeah, old Clinton's wicked willy, right? Rush just can't get over it, just can't get past that penis envy. Huh? Somebody ought to tell Rush that Clinton's penis could not dial the phone. And somebody else ought to tell Rush, the pig man, that Clinton is really not part of the current White House. And unless Novak is in on the and Andrea Mitchell and on and on and on, unless they're all in on the scam trying to get Clinton back into the White House, maybe Rush ought to check with his buddy Robert Novak. Have I mentioned yet this evening how much I hate these people? All right, let's begin. This is from yesterday, actually, but we thought you would enjoy it. I sure as hell enjoyed watching the tape that we Kathy got these sound bites from. No longer intimidated by the butcher of Foggy Bottom, that would be Ari Fleischer, the press corps decides to flay Simple Scotty on the leak of Ambassador Wilson's wife's CIA status. Helen Thomas asks, Scott, has anyone, has the president tried to find out who outed the CIA agent? And has he fired anyone in the White House yet?
Helen, that's assuming a lot of things. First of all, that is not the way this White House operates. The president expects everyone in his administration to adhere to the highest standards of conduct.
Quack, quack.
No one would be authorized to do such a thing. Secondly, I've seen the anonymous media reports. If I could find out who anonymous was, it would make my life a whole lot easier.
Well, why don't you call Bob Novak, Scotty, and make your life easier? Bob would probably talk to you off the record and tell you what a filthy little rat that exists inside this corrupt administration gave him the information. ABC's Terry Moran says, but Scott, something like this did happen, right? Bob Novak had information he should not have had. Right? That he was not authorized to have. Right? So, and at this point, Simple Scotty tries to sweep this issue under the rug, saying he knows nothing outside the media reports.
All I can tell you is what I've seen in the media reports, and I've seen different statements in the media reports from the CIA hasn't confirmed or denied that this was a covert agent for the CIA.
What?
I've seen media reports to suggest that it was referred to the Department of Justice and that and comments the Department of Justice would look into it.
So Scotty, you see, gets his news the same way you and I get ours, except Scotty is the White House spokesperson. Oh, that's what we're supposed to believe if we want to believe Scotty.
Oh, well, I read the media reports. Wow, I don't know.
Ed asks a question. Reporter Ed. And he gets Simple Scotty all defensive. Reporter Ed says, Scott, this is clearly a serious matter, with possible penalties being going to prison. It's not going to go away. Why, and as you said earlier, there probably is a limited number of people with access to the to this information. It doesn't take much for the president to ask for a senior official working for him to just lay the question out for a few people and end this controversy today, right, Scott?
Are we supposed to chase down every anonymous report in the newspaper? We'd spend all our time doing that. Again, Ed, do you have specific information to bring to our attention? The Justice Department would be the appropriate agency to look into this, and if something like this happened, the president believes it should be pursued to the fullest extent.
If something like this happened, what? Everybody's hallucinating, Scotty, all at one time. It's just a great big thud, 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 as we all breathe in and out. And what, we've all done the same acid? We're all hallucinating? Bob Novak, every editorial writer in the country, all the newspapers, the television, everybody's hallucinating. Joe Wilson, his wife, everybody? Is that it, Scotty? If something like this happened? This guy is an unbelievable jackass, isn't he? This Scott McClellan? So now a reporter has a question about why Bush has taken so long to act on a leak that could cost people their lives, Scotty. Do you understand that, Scotty? People could die. The reporter says, Scott, since the president takes it so seriously and since the revelation was made 2.5 months ago, why does the president only now, since others have called for a Department of Justice inquiry, why does Mr. Bush only now support that action?
I made it very clear then what I'm making clear now, that if that there was no information that's come to our attention to suggest any White House involvement. So that's where things stood. But I made it very clear that that is not the way this White House operates, that the president expects people to adhere to the highest standards of conduct and the highest ethics. And he has made that very clear from day one of this administration.
Yeah, well, Scotty, when you say there was no information that has come to our attention to suggest any White House involvement, Jesus Christ, don't you read Bob Novak? Don't you read the Sun Times? Didn't you read the July 14th column? It was all there. Where Novak says, two top Bush administration officials told me this. Oh, but Scotty says, there was no information that's come to our attention to suggest any White House involvement, and I will keep telling you stupid-ass reporters this because, you know, the guy that came here before me, Ari Fleischer, told me that you're all a bunch of freaks and pansies and lightweights, and you're not going to do anything because we have you totally intimidated. You mess with me, and I'll put Karl Rove on your ass, huh? Huh? You want to lose your press pass? Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth, Bo. Watch your mouth. Now the reporters want to know what Karl Rove's involvement is in this mess. Reporter says, obviously, Scott, someone contacted Karl Rove. There was some effort to knock down a specific allegation here, so I'm wondering, why not contact others? Is it inappropriate in your view? Or is it just too diffuse, too difficult? All the president has to do is pick up the phone and call a meeting here and find out. And obviously somebody has asked Karl Rove because Karl Rove has denied it. And if they all say, we didn't do it, he can also call the CIA. You know, he's the president, Scotty. What's the big barrier? I don't understand exactly what the reason is that you wouldn't expand the effort from Karl Rove to, oh, perhaps another dozen or so people who might have had knowledge about this.
We've got important work to do here in Washington, D.C. for the people of this nation, and the president will continue to focus on the priorities we are pursuing, the war on terrorism, strengthening the economy. There are a number of important priorities we are focused on. There are a lot of anonymous media reports that happen all the time, and it's not our practice to go and try to chase down anonymous sources every time there's a report in the media. If there's specific information that comes to our attention, that's another matter, but there has not been any information beyond what we've seen in just anonymous media reporting to suggest that there was White House involvement.
Oh, my God. This is a little bit like Ron Ziegler, Nixon's press secretary. Only Ron Ziegler, I'm trying to remember, it was so long ago. I think Ziegler was a better liar than Scott. Still on Rove's criminal involvement, a reporter asks, Scott, you said that the president knows that Karl Rove was not involved. And you specifically have spoken to Karl Rove and gotten those assurances. By those statements, then, you've implied that the president has not talked to Karl Rove specifically about this. How so?
I've already answered this question when Terry asked it earlier, and I said that it's not my habit to get into conversations the president has with staff or with advisors. So that's just not. I'm not going to get into those conversations. I've made it clear that it simply is not true, and I'm speaking on behalf of the White House when I say that.
He says, it's not my habit to get into conversations the president has with staff or advisors. Then what the hell do you do, McClellan? What is your job? You're the White House press representative. You lying little punk. You sit in on every single meeting. All of them. So that you can half-assed answer when you go out and face the crack White House press corps. How many lies so far? We've played 6 sound bites. How many lies have you heard? Here's the last one. It's not my habit to get in conversations with the president that he has with his staff or his advisors. Really? Really? Now, here's a nice little back and forth on Bush's supposed integrity. This worm has as much integrity as Saddam Hussein had. The reporter starts out, can you explain why the president, who ran to say that he would himself restore honesty and integrity to the Oval Office, that he would do it, is now saying he has to do nothing on this front and will leave it to the Justice Department, when it's his own staff that's been accused of committing a very, very serious federal crime? What about that, Scotty?
And I think I've asked and answered that.
No, but why is he not doing anything proactively?
I've been asked and answered that question. I mean, I had that asked up here. I mean, I'll go back through it. Because there's been no information that's come to our attention or been brought to our attention beyond what we've seen in the media reports. Let me finish and then you can ask a question. I've seen the anonymous media reports, but like I said, there are anonymous media reports all the time. Are we supposed to go chasing down every single anonymous report?
Yeah, if they cause people to die. if they are reports of felonious activity by the worms and maggots who operate in your White House, Scotty? Yeah. You should hunt them all down. There's not that many, because the crack White House press corps and the national media have given you bastards a free pass for 3 years. So there's not that many things that you have to go track down, Scotty. But this is one that you might want to track down, because it's going to devour you. It's going to get you, Scotty, and the entire corrupt, degenerate administration you represent. So now Scotty decides to pass the buck to Ashcroft. Reporter says, Scott, you keep saying if there was a leak. But Ambassador Joe Wilson has been all over the place, on ABC This Morning and other media outlets, saying himself that his wife was outed, that she was, he has confirmed it, that she was a CIA operative and that her identity has been revealed. So if that's the case, why wouldn't the president be proactive about this in trying to find out where that leak came from? Isn't the president concerned when there's a leak of this magnitude that could threaten someone's very life?
If it's a, quote, senior administration official, we should go to every single agency. I think that's the Department of Justice can do that, and that's what they're charged with doing, so they will look into it. If there's specific information relating to the White House, someone is welcome to bring it to our attention, but I've not seen any information beyond what is in the media reports to suggest White House involvement.
You see what they're doing? It's just I can't talk. Back on Rove, a reporter asks Scott, just a couple of quick clarifications. Weeks ago, when you were first asked whether Mr. Rove had the conversation with Robert Novak that produced the column, you dismissed it as ridiculous. And I wanted just to make sure, at that time, had you talked to Karl Rove then?
I've made it very clear from the beginning that it is totally ridiculous. I've known Carl for a long time, and I didn't even need to go ask Carl, because I know the kind of person that he is, and he is someone that is committed to the highest standards of conduct.
He's a worm. What are you talking about, Scott? He's a killer. This guy knows no boundaries. He will destroy you. He will smash your face in, Scotty, if you cross him. Highest standards of conduct? He would make a mafia hitman look like a kindergarten teacher. Oh, my God. Okay. The last back and forth on this issue, on the Bush versus Clinton double standard. Reporter began, Scott, the statement you gave about why there shouldn't be a special prosecutor was almost word for word what the Clinton people said in 1994 about why there shouldn't be a special prosecutor in Whitewater. Why should it stand now if it didn't stand then?
I just reject that comparison.
But it is the same issue. Why is...
Do you have specific information to suggest White House involvement?
No, but why...
Do you have any information to suggest White House involvement?
The issue is credibility.
Well, bring it to my attention if you have information, but there's no information we have beyond the media reports to suggest White House involvement.
Unbelievable. Unfreaking believable. I don't know. Where did they get Scott McClellan? What is the purpose of having this little weasel out there? Brian is calling from Richland Hills, Texas. Brian, welcome to the program.
I just wanted to raise an issue. I mean, even if the White House wasn't involved, which I think that they are, well, I mean, this is a serious matter that the president should address. I mean, this is really serious. I mean, and he hasn't cared to even address that there's a problem in his security apparatus in this country?
Nope, he couldn't care less. He couldn't care less. This is George W. Bush. Come on, Brian. As much as this man makes me gag, George W. Bush and his entire administration, there is a possibility that Bush just floats through all this like he thinks he owned the Texas Rangers. He thinks he ran a successful oil exploration company. He thinks he served in the Texas Air National Guard. This guy makes Reagan look like a genius.
Yeah, it's amazing to me. And for that other idiot that you just spoke to who said that Karl Rove is, you know, has high standards or whatnot. I mean, the man lied about a wiretap in his office.
Yeah, he
back in Harris County when
that's right.
The governor race.
That's right. That's right. They're all liars. They're all liars. They're all criminals. And if there is justice in the universe, all of these bastards will go to prison at some point. At some point. Hey, Brian, thanks for checking in, pal.
Yeah, and thank you very much.
All right, sir. Appreciate it.
Fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire grilled chicken, fire roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on a fresh baked baguette. All with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817. The Washington Monthly.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk. Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal celebrity boxing.
We're going to kick some butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on.
Yeah.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Sunday. Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boy, come on!
Justice and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Five before the hour, right after the break, we will contrast and compare what right-wing half-wit Bob Novak said Monday in denying that anybody in the Bush administration called him to leak this, which is not the issue. That's not the issue. Well, I mean it is, but his denial is not the issue. And then we will go to the column on July 14th that Novak wrote, where not only did he out Mrs. Plame, Valerie Plame, but he identified her as to what she does. He was saying the other day, well, she's just a low-level analyst. Well, that's not what you said back on July 14th, you weasel. But I'll tell you what, Donald Rumsfeld, if you remember back before this murderous attack on the population of Iraq, Rumsfeld used to get just every vein in his head popping when he heard about leaks of military plans. I seem to remember him saying more than once that leakers belonged in jail, right? Didn't he say that? Huh? The L.A. Times, in an editorial today, says, even by Washington standards, there is something particularly odious about an alleged White House leak seemingly designed to destroy the career of an undercover CIA officer married to former Ambassador Joseph Wilson IV. The leak occurred in July, but is just now becoming the subject of a Justice Department investigation. Well, just remember David Kelly, the British government scientist who was skeptical about evidence on Iraqi weapons of mass destruction. Remember him? He committed suicide after being outed as a BBC source and later maligned by government officials. You remember David Kelly, right? The Bush administration's assault on Wilson's wife stinks the same way, doesn't it? I wonder if Valerie Plame will commit suicide. Or maybe Joe Wilson will commit suicide. If there were a God, Karl Rove would commit suicide. Right? All right, coming back, I want you to hear what Bob Novak said the other day and what he said on July 14th. And we'd love to hear your take on this now. I'm just about finished ranting and raving. Call us, 800-825-5937.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too? Heck.
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you
it's
hate me?
True.
You
why,
hate
why not
me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
The IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. The White House Monday rejected Democratic calls for a special prosecutor to probe allegations that it exposed a covert agent to punish a critic, saying the Department of Justice could handle it fairly. White House spokesman Scott McClellan also denied that chief political strategist Karl Rove played a role, saying Rove had personally assured him that he was not involved. Several Democrats called for a special counsel outside of the Justice Department to conduct the investigation, but the White House has rejected the proposal. Billionaire philanthropist George Soros, whose foundation's network has given $1 billion around the world to various causes to help tackle poverty and disease, has called for a Bush regime change. Soros told BBC Radio 4's United Nations or Not program that the U.S. would only stop pursuing extremist policies if there was a change at the White House. Mr. Soros added that there is a false ideology behind the policies of the Bush administration and has created a $75 million fund under the auspices of a media group called ACT for the purpose of keeping Bush from being reelected. Iraqis involved in the effort to write a new constitution said today that completing the document in 6 months, the goal set by Secretary of State Colin L. Powell last week, will be impossible to meet because of differences over how to select the drafters and more profound disagreements over the role of Islamic law in a new political system. A committee of lawyers, scholars, and religious figures that was supposed to propose a way to select delegates to a constitutional convention has not been able to agree on a preferred method, according to members of the country's governing council and others familiar with the process. Senior American military officials say that as much as 650,000 tons of ammunition remains at thousands of sites used by the former Iraqi security forces, and that much of it has not been secured and will take years to destroy. The scope of the problem is much larger than the Pentagon acknowledged 3 weeks ago, when senior military officials insisted that all known munition sites in Iraq had been secured. More IE America Network News after this.
We were just driving to school. Yeah, the music was loud. And we were all talking. I thought I had everything under control. Until I hit that kid in the crosswalk.
Please, look for pedestrians. Stop for them. Think of the impact you could make. A message from the Federal Highway Administration.
Six record labels have withdrawn a $300 million lawsuit against a 66-year-old woman who has never downloaded the song. Not only that, as a Macintosh user, she couldn't even run the Windows-based Kazaa software. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome to Baguette Country.
Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
It's 2003. Do you know where you are? Not the physical you. You're right there. But the little digital you that banks, credit card firms, insurance companies, brokerage houses, and other corporations have created from personal information that they've gleaned from you, information you thought was private. For example, how much liquor have you charged to your credit card? What's your net worth? Have you missed a loan payment? Are you taking medicine for a sexual problem? What's your monthly take-home? Did you make a series of one-nighter trips to Las Vegas last year? All this and more is collected by your financial institutions and, thanks to a little-known law that Congress passed 4 years ago, these institutions now can share all of your personal data, compile it into a detailed profile, and store this digital you inside their computers. But they don't stop there. The Graham-Leach-Bliley Act lets them give you to all of their conglomerate affiliates and to sell you to other corporations under joint marketing agreements. The digital you is their slave. And the actual you doesn't know which corporations have you or what they're doing with you. You can thank former Senator Phil Graham for this theft of your privacy. At the behest of the industry, which coincidentally just happened to be his major campaign funder, Phil dutifully maneuvered this body-snatching bill into law. Graham left the Senate last year and was rewarded with, what else? A fat cat job with a giant financial firm that had lobbied for this bill. This is Jim Hightower saying, if you think that these privacy invaders should not be allowed to use and sell your personal information without getting permission from you in writing, you are not alone. People all across the country are outraged and pushing for action to stop the privacy snatchers. There's both a bill and an initiative in California that would outlaw this corporate intrusion. If it passes there, other states will follow. To join this fight for privacy, go to californiaprivacy.org.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network. Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. If you are listening on a radio station that only takes the second and or third hour of the program, you missed all the Scott McClellan quotes. Shame on you. Call your radio station program director and say, hey, I want all 3 hours of the Molloy program, right? Email from Bob in Spring, Texas during the break. Regarding how many times Scott McClellan said the word anonymous media reports, those three words in various combinations. Bob writes, Mike, I could be remembering wrong, but how many anonymous media reports were cited during the run-up to war as proof that Iraq was a threat? Yeah. Oh, my God. And Ted emails in. He says, remember how the right wing and the House managers or House manglers, especially the smarmy, unctuous Lindsey Graham, kept pounding Clinton? That Clinton had used and taken advantage of that woman, that he had violated her honor, as Graham would say. Remember how they claimed that Clinton had a clique that was trying to paint her as a stalker? This was what Christopher Snitchens falsely accused Sid Blumenthal of doing, remember? Well then, if they claimed that Clinton used and abused Monica Lewinsky, what the hell has the Bush White House, and specifically Karl Rove, done to Valerie Plame? And what about what has been done to all the deep cover CIA operatives that have been exposed? They are likely to be killed, just like what happened when Aldrich Ames blew the cover of CIA agents working in the Soviet Union. Their agents are what they call assets. Yeah, well, but I've said on this program, Ted, and, you know, I used to get email, I don't anymore, from right-wingers who'd say, how dare you accuse George W. Bush of this? How dare you accuse Karl Rove of that? How dare you say that they're killers? How dare you say they have no respect for human life or that they are amoral or they have no ethical center? Well, do you folks used to send me those emails? I could say something nasty like, kiss my ass, but I won't. I will say, hello, have you picked up your local paper in the past 3 days? Now, on to Bob Novak. Yesterday, he said, now that the heat's on, quote, nobody in the Bush administration called me to leak this. In July, I was interviewing a senior administration official on Ambassador Wilson's report when he, the administration official, told me the trip that Mr. Wilson made was inspired by his wife, a CIA employee working on weapons of mass destruction. Now, remember that phrase, a CIA employee working on weapons of mass destruction. Another senior official told me the same thing. As a professional journalist with 46 years experience in Washington, I do not reveal confidential sources. When I called the CIA in July to confirm Mrs. Wilson's involvement in the mission for her husband, he is a former Clinton administration official, they asked me not to use her name, but never indicated it would endanger her or anybody else. According to a confidential source at the CIA, Mrs. Wilson was an analyst, not a spy, not a covert operator, and not in charge of undercover operatives, end quote. That's from yesterday, Bob Novak. Let's go back to July 14th, his column. I'm not going to quote the whole thing, just a few lines. He's talking about the CIA's decision to send what he refers to as retired diplomat Joseph C. Wilson to Africa in February 2002 to investigate the possible Iraqi purchases of uranium, la, 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 la. Now, you'll notice yesterday he referred to him as a former Clinton administration official. On July 14th, he calls him a retired diplomat. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. And then Novak writes this. That's where Joe Wilson came in. His first public notice had come in 1991, after 15 years as a Foreign Service officer, when, as U.S. chargé in Baghdad, he risked his life to shelter in the embassy some 800 Americans from Saddam Hussein's wrath. My partner, Roland Evans, reported from the Iraqi capital in our column that Wilson showed, quote, the stuff of heroism, end quote. President George Herbert Walker Bush the next year named him ambassador to Gabon, and President Bill Clinton put him in charge of African affairs at the National Security Council until his, Wilson's, retirement in 1998. Wilson never worked for the CIA, but his wife, Valerie Plame, is an agency operative on weapons of mass destruction. Now, yesterday he said, I said Mrs. Wilson was an analyst, not a spy, not a covert operator, and not in charge of undercover operatives. On the 14th, Valerie Plame is an agency operative on weapons of mass destruction. Don't you want to just rip this guy's tongue out? Don't you want to do a Saddam Hussein on him? Don't you want to stretch his tongue out and take some wire cutters and just snip it off right back at that thing back there in the back of your throat? Don't you want to do that? Uvula. Thank you, Kathy. But what about Joe Wilson? Now, Hannity says, according to an email I got, that Joe Wilson's a liar. Well, according to this right-wing freak, Robert Novak, Joe Wilson was a hero. He risked his life to shelter in the embassy some 800 Americans from Saddam Hussein's wrath. Roland Evans, Novak's partner at the time, reported from Baghdad that Wilson showed, quote, the stuff of heroism, close quote. And then two presidents, a Republican and a Democrat, honored him. You know, when did we see Hannity? When was that? In January? When were we in New York, Kathy? And he was too sick to get his talk show host of the decade award or something. March? May? Was it in May? And he said, hey, Malloy. And I said, hey, Sean, when are you going to repent? I should have walked over and just slapped him upside his greasy ass head. Oh, yeah, he was sick. Okay, he had the flu or something, right? A little bit more from the July 14th column by Novak here. In the Washington Post on July 6th, Wilson talked about the Bush team misrepresenting the facts. And what else are they lying about? After the White House admitted error, Wilson declined all television and radio interviews. The story was never about me, he told me, Novak. It was always the statement in Bush's speech, the lie. Okay, so not only is this Joe Wilson head and shoulders above anybody in the Bush crime family, not only is he capable of acts of courage instead of acts of weaselness like the pig man or the pig boy, not only does Bob Novak lie yesterday regarding his own column from July 14th, we are still, however, left with the fact that Valerie Plame, an agency operative, a CIA operative on weapons of mass destruction, has been outed by some scurrilous, slimy thug working in the White House. And remember, nobody farts, nobody goes to the bathroom, nobody changes their underwear unless Karl Rove is right there to make sure everything is done Karl Rove's way. What did Scott McClellan say to you?
Well, I always get our media rumors, media reports. I don't know. These are just media reports. I don't know.
Spitfire is calling from California. Hey, Spitfire.
Hey. Guess what?
What?
I went online last night after the show, and I decided to do some digging.
Yeah?
To find a connection between Bush, Karl Rove, you know, Robert Novak. Well, in the January 2003 Esquire was this.
The article by...
Sources close to Bush, as in Daddy Bush, say Karl Rove was fired from the 1992 Bush presidential campaign after he planted a negative story with columnist Robert Novak about dissatisfaction with campaign fundraising chief and Bush loyalist Robert Mosbacher Jr. It was smoked out and he was summarily ousted.
Yeah, Rove was.
He lost the job.
Yeah, sure.
And he's worked with Bob Novak in dirty tricks before. So this is just a repeat of that, and it's probably going to end up ending the same way, with Karl Rove losing a job over it.
I'd like to see Karl Rove stay and Bush get fired.
Yeah. Well, you know, Chimpy doesn't have the brains to be able to continue any kind of a threatening administration on his own. It's Karl Rove.
Sure.
No, he's not telegenic. He's actually the president.
Right.
I mean, let's face it. Karl Rove is really the president.
He's not telegenic,
and he's got Bush for his little front man that he can throw out there in front of the cameras and do all that while he does all the stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think it's Rove. It's kind of like the old Soviet Union's troikas. It's Rove, it's Cheney, and it's
the power behind the throne.
Rumsfeld. Those three, in a just society, those three would be tried for treason and either executed or put in prison for the rest of their natural lives.
Oh, yeah. You know, the neocons are, it's all part of the same cabal.
Yeah.
And, there are just some things that you end up, just anybody just cruising the web, they start discovering one thing after another. I mean, they even discover your show.
Right. Imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that. All right. Thanks, Spitfire.
Sure.
Appreciate you checking in.
Frank is calling from. Hold on a second, Frank. What'd I do? Okay, I know. I have a wrong button on here. Let me pop that button. There we go. Frank is calling from Ontario, Canada. Frank, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I've got the buttons pressed, eh?
Yeah, we're all set. Yeah.
That's good. I did something bad today. I listened to You Know Who.
Well, now, wait a minute. I'm not your priest. You don't confess to me. You listened to the pig man?
Yeah, unfortunately, we were talking about pollution crossing borders.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, this is a different kind of pollution. I was driving near Detroit. I was just across the border in Windsor.
Well, that's risky. Hey, hold on a second. I've got to do some commercials, Frank. I'll come right back to you. Yeah, I have to break. I'll come right back to you. We're at 800-TALK-YES, and I've got a bunch of open lines. If y'all aren't going to call in, we'll just do a repeat of a show from last week. Sure, your choice.
Washington, they had to run. States' rights just weren't that much fun. Don't you hate that crap? They just keep lying all the time. They just keep lying all the time.
Does Burger King have a new fire grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide.
Sorry, ma'am, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for juicy gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
It's 2003. Do you know where you are? Not the physical you, you're right there. But the little digital you that banks, credit card firms, insurance companies, brokerage houses, and other corporations have created from personal information that they've gleaned from you. Information you thought was private. For example, how much liquor have you charged to your credit card? What's your net worth? Have you missed a loan payment? Are you taking medicine for a sexual problem? What's your monthly take-home? Did you make a series of one-nighter trips to Las Vegas last year? All this and more is collected by your financial institutions, and thanks to a little-known law that Congress passed 4 years ago, these institutions now can share all of your personal data, compile it into a detailed profile, and store this digital you inside their computers. But they don't stop there. The Graham-Leach-Bliley Act lets them give you to all of their conglomerate affiliates and to sell you to other corporations under joint marketing agreements. The digital you is their slave. And the actual you doesn't know which corporations have you or what they're doing with you. You can thank former Senator Phil Graham for this theft of your privacy. At the behest of the industry, which coincidentally just happened to be his major campaign funder, Phil dutifully maneuvered this body-snatching bill into law. Graham left the Senate last year and was rewarded with, what else? A fat cat job with a giant financial firm that had lobbied for this bill.
This is Jim Hightower saying, if you think that these privacy invaders should not be allowed to use and sell your personal information without getting permission from you in writing, you are not alone. People all across the country are outraged and pushing for action to stop the privacy snatchers. There's both a bill and an initiative in California that would outlaw this corporate intrusion. If it passes there, other states will follow. To join this fight for privacy, go to CaliforniaPrivacy.org.
The man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. You all probably knew this already, but my buddy Joe out in Texas had to send me an email statement from Arianna Huffington. She's decided to bow out of the mess in California. Thanks, Joe. I'm sure everybody else in the world knew that, but I didn't. Now, back to Frank in Ontario. So you were driving through Windsor, I guess Windsor, and you caught the pig man, and it left you stunned and dazed, right?
Yeah, you can't listen to Rush. But you can listen to him, but it's like listening to nails scraping against a chalkboard.
Ew.
I was getting him, today there on that 760 station. That's awful.
Yeah, WJR. Yeah, terrible station.
WJR.
Right.
Yeah. Them and all the other conservatives that they came in on, I'm telling you. And Rush was saying today that 50 times a year CIA investigates leaks, and it's nothing unusual.
Rush
is... Even as a reason more to investigate leaks in this Bush crime syndicate?
Well, don't believe a word of it. Rush Limbaugh is a big fat liar. Al Franken says so. Rush Limbaugh is a liar. Rush Limbaugh has no more of an idea how many leaks the CIA investigates than I know how many grains of sand are on the beach in the panhandle of Florida. Rush Limbaugh is a liar. He is a complete liar. He makes stuff up as he goes along, Frank, because he knows that his listeners, not you, but his ditto heads, are so stupid, are so grossly ignorant. You step on their toes and the tops of their heads pop open, and the pig man can dump anything in there that he wants to dump in. He's a liar.
Exactly. I heard a half a dozen of them today. And then he was saying that Valerie was an analyst, not a CIA operative.
Yeah, Rush would know that, too.
Another lie.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, so I had a quick...
Isn't it amazing... But wait. Isn't it amazing how the pig man... tries to minimize the exposure of a CIA operative whose exposure ends her career, puts her life in jeopardy, puts in jeopardy the lives of whomever she may have worked as assets in God knows what countries in the Middle East, but... when it comes to a consensual afternoon sexual romp, Rush Limbaugh goes berserk and insane and tries to call down the fire of hell onto the Clinton administration. Isn't that interesting, Frank?
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
And Wolf said that today, too. If this was the Clinton administration, he says, and he was on with Richard Shelby, the senator from Alabama.
Yeah, the guy that talks with...
Right-wing Republican, yeah.
Yeah, he's got a mouth full of corn pone and fat back, so it's hard for him to talk.
He says if this was the Clinton administration, Wolf asked him, the shoe would be on the other foot, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
He says the Republicans wouldn't think Janet Reno's department would give an impartial look if Clinton was in charge.
Right.
And then the first thing that comes out of this guy's mouth is, well, I'm not sure about that, Wolf. Not sure about that? He says, back in my history, I voted against the creation of independent counsel. We know that sometimes the independent counsels, they go wild. He says, let's give the Department of Justice a chance to investigate. He says, they go wild. It's like you were talking about last week, like they're going wild, like fire hoses coming out of walls.
Yeah. Right. Well, Richard,
this guy must do acid as well, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Richard Shelby.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thanks, Frank. Thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate it.
Talk to you again.
All right, sir. Take care. Yeah, Richard Shelby. I don't mean to make it sound like he talks like he's got a mouthful of corn pone and fatback. He has a mouthful of what we in the South here call a sugar tit. Do y'all know what a sugar tit is? No, of course you don't, not unless you live in the South. And they don't do it anymore because it's kind of nasty. But you take a little piece of cheesecloth, a little piece of a curtain material. They used to do this in the South. And you load in a whole bunch of Crisco, and then you load in a whole bunch of sugar, brown sugar, white sugar, whatever, and you wrap it up, and you give it to the baby. And the baby sucks on that, and that's called a sugar tit.
I'm offensive, I'm a bigot, I'm a fraud, can you dig it? I'm a sexist, racist, homophobic, fat, pathetic, touch. I'm a Nazi,
that's right.
I really am,
because
I'm a Nazi,
that's right.
You're being scammed.
I'm a Nazi,
I don't care about the middle class, because
I'm a fat conservative butthead with a face of a horse's ass.
He's a fat conservative butthead,
hey,
with a face of a horse's ass.
A subhuman figure, a huge rear end. My brain? That's another.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
A new study says ozone pollution at ground level could increase substantially over the next century. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Ozone is a poisonous gas that's a major component of smog. A new study says this kind of pollution is likely to get worse across the northern hemisphere during the 21st century. Ozone forms when car exhaust and factory emissions hit warm air in sunlight. It can damage the human respiratory system and aggravate health problems for people with asthma. Michael Prather is an atmospheric chemist at the University of California at Irvine. He worked with a team of researchers on computer simulations to predict ozone pollution in the future. Their work shows that ozone levels could increase considerably in the northern hemisphere by the year 2100. The amount of increase will largely depend on human population growth and levels of fossil fuel consumption. Prather says the increase would push everyday levels of ozone closer to the concentrations that are considered unsafe. That, in turn, would mean that short-term pollution events, like traffic jams on a hot summer day, would push ozone levels past the safety threshold more often. Prather says ozone pollution at ground level is completely separate from ozone depletion in the stratosphere. That ozone occurs naturally and protects us from the sun's ultraviolet radiation.
There's this constant confusion between stratospheric ozone, where we're afraid of an ozone hole and ozone depletion, and the near-surface stuff we have to breathe. People think you can take the near-surface stuff and ship it into the stratosphere and save the ozone hole and save our lungs at the same time. And the answer is no, they're totally different scales. The amount that hurts our lungs is still a very low concentration compared to the stratosphere.
That's Michael Prather of the University of California at Irvine. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You're now entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Charles is calling from Hillsboro, Ohio. Hey, Charles.
How you doing?
Doing fine, sir.
Well, I was like the guy from Canada.
Yeah?
I had to go see my cardiologist today. I was in the car about 45 minutes each way. And I turned the pig man on to start with.
Oh, no.
I couldn't last very long. And, of course, I was going to see my cardiologist anyway.
Did you have a spike in your blood pressure or heart rate or anything?
He said I was okay. So
the
only thing that saved me, because on the way home then, I turned Hananansi in, Hannity. And he started off right at 3 o'clock when he started off his program. He said this thing was a non-event.
Non-event.
Yeah. And
yeah, it doesn't mean a thing.
About 5 minutes, I had to turn him off, you know, turn some music on or something like that.
You know, there's an extreme right-wing talk show host here in Atlanta. This guy claims to be a libertarian. He's actually a neo-Nazi. But he refers to, that would be Neil Bortz, he refers to Sean Hannity as the baby Jesus.
Yeah. Well, we call him Hananazi.
Hananazi? Oh, okay.
And, I was born under the regime of Herbert Hoover.
Yeah?
So I've been around a while. I'm third-generation Democrat. And if this thing gets heated up a little bit more, I'm going to be in trouble. I'm going to have to go to the cemetery and get the dirt packed down around Granddad's and Dad's grave.
Yeah, they're going to be wanting to come back and pay Mr. Bush or somebody a visit, eh?
I'm loving it. I'm right here in the middle of Republican country. We're talking about the hard right wing here. And the only radio stations we got, of course, I'm listening to you on the dial-up and all the rebuffering and everything.
I apologize for that.
We don't have I got a real slow dial-up.
Yeah.
So I figured I'm just going to call because I've been listening to you. This is my evening when everybody else is, when my wife goes to bed, I'm sitting there listening to you, and I'm loving every minute of it.
Well, bless your heart. I just have to tell you, thank you, Charles. I mean, the people who really make an effort to listen to this program, you don't just jump in your car and turn on the Malloy Show. You don't... listen at when you're at home. You really have to make an effort to hear this program. And by God, Charles, I just appreciate it, the effort that you folks make. Thank you so much.
Well, I like everything you're doing, and just somebody's got to say it. And of course, I'm right here, all our radio stations here are Clear Channel. So
oh, yeah.
You know what we're getting.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Of course, the Chimpanelli, as they call him, he was in Cincinnati here just 60 miles from here tonight.
Oh, really?
In fact, I've been by the guy's house several times. When I go into Cincinnati, I usually have to shortcut through town to that Indian Hill there where Linder lives.
Uh-huh.
And that's where he come in today. I tied all the traffic up at 5 o'clock today.
Oh, great.
And coming through Cincinnati.
That's not the easiest city to get through anyway.
No.
Yeah.
So it's just been good to talk and to listen to you, and I'm glad I got a chance to talk to you.
Well, thank you, sir. My privilege, actually. Thanks a lot for tuning in, Charles, and call us anytime.
I will.
All right, sir. Take care. You know, I swear to God, I know that 85% of our audience is online, but, in some areas with crappy dial-ups, we had a crappy dial-up. I used to try to listen to my buddy Peter Werby when he was on this network from noon to 3. Still be at home, get ready to, getting a show together, and I'd be working on my computer, and we had this funky, nasty old dial-up system, real slow, lousy computer, and I would get IEAmericaRadio.com, listen to Peter, and it just, right, Kathy, used to drive me crazy. I could hear maybe 45 seconds of him, and then it would be buffering for 30 seconds. And, of course, when it buffers, it picks back up most of the time where the last word Peter said until it gets so much of that time accumulated and it has to jump. But I used to try to listen to Werby and couldn't do it. And it'd drive me crazy. So, I know what you're going through, pal. We finally got broadband. We got broadband, and it's like, I don't know. It's like stepping out of... where? The 19th century into the 21st. And broadband is going to be very short-lived anyway. You all know that. It's going to be totally wireless. It's going to be satellite. You'll just have a receiver, sort of like dish television is now. So all these companies that are fighting and clawing each other for broadband or cable access to computer, to the internet, to DSLs. What do you suppose? A year? Year and a half? Maybe two at the most? Three at the most? And it's gone. It's history. Yeah. Know what you're going through, buddy, with that dial-up crap. I say Joe's name, and here he is, calling from Cypress Springs, Texas. Hey, Joe.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
Okay. Reckon, how many of the registered voters, well, I'm going to say here in Texas, but I pop across the United States, even know who Joseph Wilson is, and I didn't even know about this mess.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of them, and I'm just talking about personal experience. I ain't, now, the veterans I know, pretty much, they know what's going on.
Right.
But I get out in the world, and I'm talking about some kin and other people around here.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know enough. They don't watch it. I mean, even if you can pay attention, and which you can pay a little more attention to the news now than you could.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have seen a little bit of change in CBS and some of them, you know.
Well, see, this is where radio in this country has so grossly and miserably failed, because these people you're talking about, they got their errands to run. If they're working out on a farm, they got a radio in the tractor. If they're working in a barn, if they're working in an office, they got radio. So all they hear is right wing talk radio. If there was fair and balanced talk radio in this country, they would hear. They may not see the news, Joe. Hell, I don't watch the news, but they would hear it during the day. All they hear is this propaganda put out by the pig man and the baby Jesus and the rest of these freaks, and that's what they start to think is true. It's the old Joseph Goebbels thing, the big lie. Tell it enough times and people eventually believe it. It's such a shame. It's such a shame what right-wing talk radio has done to this country.
Well, and everybody I know, I'm going to say all my kin folks, except for a few, my mother and my daddy and a few,
mm-hmm.
a few of my kin. Everybody is getting ready for Jesus to come back. I mean, hell, they don't care. And they think that they think Democrats are the sinful people. Oh, y'all read this. I got this email today. It's just about three or four. I know you don't like stuff read, but
Go ahead.
We haven't heard from you guys in a while. Hope everything's okay. If you have time, write us a update so I can let the church family know what's going on. The church family? She is getting crazy now. The church family?
Do you know Brother Sky Blue out in Memphis?
Does he call in again?
Yeah.
There's one guy called in from that talked. I enjoy him. I can't remember. I'm like another one you talk about.
Well, I've got I used to have. They're all dead now, but I used to have people like that in my family too, Joe, who were absolutely and utterly convinced that Jesus was just picking his teeth and cleaning his nails, waiting to come back. But he was
damn sure coming back real soon.
You know, and now we got him in the government, you know?
I know. I mean, you know what I say to him?
What?
I say to him, I said, what if he don't come back?
Right.
We're going to have a world we can't live in, can't breathe air.
Right.
I mean, what happens if he don't, Mike? What happens if he don't come back down here and save us all, you know? Whatever you believe, you know?
I hear you, Joe. God, I hear you. All right, Joe, thank you. I appreciate you checking in, buddy.
All right,
take care. Boy, I just love old Joe. Don't you love Joe, Kathy? Don't you love Joe? That's my kind of people, isn't it? Church family. Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about, Joe. Oh, Lord have mercy. Woo-hoo. Luke is calling from Knoxville, Tennessee. Hey, Luke.
Hey, Mike.
Hey. Don't you love Joe, too?
Oh, I'll tell you. Joe's a classic.
Joe is great, man. I will take one Joe up against 10,000 Karl Roves or half a million George Bushes. I would march into hell with Joe because I know I can. I've never met Joe, but you know you could trust that man.
Oh, yeah. He tells you, he'll do.
You can trust that man? Oh, my God.
Before I get to my other thing.
Joe for president.
Yeah.
No, never mind. Go ahead, Luke.
I saw today on Buzzflash they were did that interview with Moore. James Moore, the guy who wrote with Slater, the Bush's brain.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they were going over some of Rove's early history, talking about, like, that thing with Hightower.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, Rove was the biggest leaker when he was back in Texas. I mean, he would have this friend, apparently, that was an FBI agent, and they would start files on people, and then he would leak it to the press. And, oh, by the way, my opponent, you know, there's an FBI investigation
right.
going on him.
Right.
But my question is, the main thing is, do you figure we ought to have a contest, see if we can name who those six journalists were that were sent the information?
That were sent the information. Well, in the first place, probably half of them weren't journalists.
Oh, no. I saw today, I think it was on Counterspin, that somebody wrote in and said they said they couldn't doubt that one of them had to be Sapphire.
yeah, it'd be him. I would imagine George Will.
Mm-hmm.
I would also who Krauthammer probably and let's not forget the guy who does for the Bush administration what Monica did for Bill, and that would be the Pig Man.
This is true.
The Pig Man is probably on the A list.
I wonder maybe if it just goes straight to Norquist and they let Norquist send it out to everybody.
yeah, it's unbelievable stuff.
Oh, one other thing. Tonight's the night, I think it is, at midnight for the quarter thing. So if anybody wants to give to anybody, I send another 25 to Nancy Skinner.
Yeah, you got to get the money in tonight, what Luke's talking about, before midnight in your various time zones in order to have that money a match by federal funds. So, yeah, if it's Kucinich, Dean, Nancy Skinner, John Kerry, Carol Moseley Braun, whoever it is, send in your money.
Now's the time to do it.
That's right.
Like I said, it's just interesting flipping around the channels right now, seeing, like you say, seeing these different people. The one that I think you were talking about earlier was the thing on Capitol Report with Gloria Borger and Murray.
I miss that.
That's the one you were talking about where they were trying to turn it around on him, you know, that you're really a Democrat, you know.
Yeah, I was quoting out of somebody's email that they sent. They probably were watching that, right?
Yeah. But I mean, that's one of the ones where they're the worst to me than the Pig Man and Kennedy and them. They're the ones that try to say, oh, yeah, we're average. Yeah, we're middle of the road.
Yeah.
As soon as you're there, that's all we're going to ask you.
Yeah, really.
At least the others are at least open about it most of the time.
Hey, thanks, Luke.
Bye-bye.
All right, sir. You take care. Mike is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike. I kind of half joking going to ask, where are all these southern white liberals coming from? You know, I'm a Yankee Jayhawker. I was born in Kansas. I don't know if you're familiar with being a Jayhawker, but, you know, it's interesting to see that. I guess, I actually have a more serious point to make, is that if you present, you know, about what you're talking about, the radio being taken over by right-wingers, if
right.
you present a balanced viewpoint to even people who don't have this extreme, you know, view of the world, you know, they're not online all the time getting
right.
information from websites. I mean, if you just explain things simply to them, people will understand and come around to at least a more balanced point of view. I mean, they may still remain conservative, which is okay. I mean, I don't mind an honest conservative any day of the week. I mean, but at least they'll be, you know, they'll be reasoned. They won't think they're right all the time, and it won't be this autocratic, quasi-fascist kind of pounding propaganda anger, you know. It's always someone else's fault, but, you know, who's ever really the problem is.
Yeah, 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 that's a good point. The only problem with that, who has the time to engage in conversation with somebody at a grocery store checkout line or in a doctor's office or
yeah.
wherever and just say, look, I couldn't help but hear your conversation about how wonderful Bush is, you know, and then offer a counterpoint. I mean,
I know what you mean. It's
hard to do that.
Radio shows like this help. I think, you know, because I don't know how you know many stations you guys have, but I've heard you in a lot of cities across America.
Neither do we.
Oh, really? Okay.
I could not tell you. If somebody says, hey, Malloy, how many stations are you on? I have no idea.
Well, it's all about if radio is more balanced, I guess, is my point. Mm-hmm. I mean, if there's a conservative talk show host who actually you'd call and they would actually engage you in a conversation the way Tom Hartman and you guys will engage a rational
right.
conservative, I think, you know, it's creeping up. But I do think, though, that it's something seeping through. I mean, if you've been watching CNN lately, it's like, they're making George Bush look bad. This is crazy. What's happened? A coup d'etat at the top of CNN?
Well, I guess we should apologize, not apologize, but applaud
right.
any effort by CNN or any news-gathering organization, especially an electronic medium, to be doing their job. I guess we should applaud them for doing
yeah.
their damned job.
Finally.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, what blows my mind, Michael, this has been going on for 2 months.
Well, the Bush administration's been going on for 3 years, and the lies against Al
right.
Gore went on for a year prior to that. So
right.
it's been 4 years, and as Marianne pointed out, our Aurora, Illinois bureau chief earlier this evening, it's been going on for years. You can go all the way back, if you choose to what Reagan did and how the press corps back then just swooned every time Ronald Reagan walked into an office.
Oh, that was pathetic, yeah.
And Reagan was involved, and his operatives were involved, who are now in the Bush crime family, involved in mass murder in Central America. And
right.
So it's been a long, long 25 years, 20 years since we've had
right.
a press corps in this country that was worth or that lived up to the name press corps. That's my opinion.
That's right. Well, I'll let you go then.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. I might quote some of from that BuzzFlash article that was mentioned just a second ago. Guest commentary. It's pretty good stuff. Of course, there's always, always good writing at BuzzFlash. Stay with us.
Water's in trouble, people. If people talk about me both night and day, I said, Lord, please forgive them and go the other way. But I smell trouble. Lord, I smell trouble ahead of me. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire-grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh-baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break
big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Show. Yeah, we're going to catch him doing something right. Senator Bob Graham of Florida said today that he will file a bill to prohibit charging service members for meals while they are hospitalized as a result of injuries or illnesses suffered while in combat or training for combat. Graham says, how can we justify spending billions of dollars on no-bid contracts to rebuild Iraq, then turn around and charge an injured soldier $8.10 a day for meals while he's being treated for war injuries? Marine Staff Sergeant Bill Merwin of Nevada, he was billed $243 for his meals while he was in the hospital because his foot got blown off in Iraq. Ain't privatization wonderful? So Bob Graham says he's going to put into Congress a law saying no more. It's against the law to charge service members for their meals. Thank you, Bob Graham. Well done.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Prepare to be astonished.
Okay, so just what is going on here, people?
Did you know that you can get the best of Progressive Talk Radio on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145?
Oh, really? Well, that's remarkable.
Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145 is loaded with political talk radio from the other side.
Hurrah!
Kick it off your morning with Doug Steffens. Good day from 5 a.m. till noon Eastern Time. Followed by the Tom Hartman Show from noon to 3 p.m. Then get different perspectives from different show hosts on Radio Free Speed Zone from 3 to 5 p.m.
Yeah, okay, that sounds good.
Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera then takes the reins from 5 p.m. till 7. Followed by All American Talk Radio from 7 p.m. till 9. Then get ready to fire up your night with the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time, all live Monday through Friday on Sirius Satellite Radio Stream 145, powered by the only progressive talk radio network, IE America Radio Network.
So what do you want, a medal?
Well, isn't that special?
Ready for a liberal helping of the truth? Here's Mike.
Five before the hour, just amazing to me. Every single one of these right-wing so-called pundits, thugs, writers, TV commentators, snakes in the grass, all the just super righteous indignation over Bill Clinton saying, I did not have sex with that woman, and where it concerns the outing of a CIA agent and the possible termination with extreme prejudice of some of her contacts in various countries in the Middle East. These slimy bastards, all they do is minimize the damage and defend this unconscionable punk that lives in the White House. God, I hate them. Ow, I hate them. Scott is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Mike. Just a little bit of feedback.
Yeah?
To show that you do have spreading influence here. Your phrase, correct me if I'm wrong, the Bush crime family,
yeah.
I hear that more and more, not just on IE America shows, but I've heard it here in town. Now, of course, I live in Santa Fe, and there are a lot of us around here, but just to let you know, that's catching on. People are really going with that one.
Well, that's good. When I used to read Bart Kopp a lot, and he referred to the same organization as the BFEE, the Bush Family Evil Empire. You know, I thought about that, but there's too many syllables for radio. So,
yeah, it's short and sweet.
Yeah,
and,
Bush Crime Family.
And it conveys exactly who and what they are functionally.
Yeah, these people make John Gotti just like a piker. You know,
uh-huh.
I mean the crime that these people get involved in, the fraud, the deception, the murder and pillage and destruction of other people's property, other people's countries, the snatching and grabbing. It's astonishing. And I think the lemming-like American public is starting to wake up to just how bad this administration is and just how seriously they are damaging this country, destroying this country unless they're stopped.
Yeah, everything from prurience, you know, they attributed all this prurience to Clinton, but they're far worse than he is.
Oh, my God.
You know, they'd get titillated over every little thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And
well, you know, whereas Clinton liked women, these people like death.
Yeah, exactly.
And as long as it's not theirs. And the difference between that, those two points of view, is the difference between life and death. Hey, Scott, thanks for checking
yeah,
in, pal.
Yeah, thank you. Nail it, man.
All right, thanks.
All right,
appreciate it. All right, quick break. We'll be back. I think I'm going to do some of this Buzz Flash stuff when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
To Mike Molloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Get things in my mind and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Molloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Molloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Molloy show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Molloy show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Molloy show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. Iraqis involved in the effort to write a new constitution said today that completing the document in 6 months, the goal set by Secretary of State Colin L. Powell last week, will be impossible to meet because of differences over how to select the drafters and more profound disagreements over the role of Islamic law in a new political system. A committee of lawyers, scholars, and religious figures that was supposed to propose a way to select delegates to a constitutional convention has not been able to agree on a preferred method, according to members of the country's governing council and others familiar with the process. Senior American military officials say that as much as 650,000 tons of ammunition remains at thousands of sites used by the former Iraqi security forces, and that much of it has not been secured and will take years to destroy. The scope of the problem is much larger than the Pentagon acknowledged 3 weeks ago, when senior military officials insisted that all known munition sites in Iraq had been secured. The White House Monday rejected Democratic calls for a special prosecutor to probe allegations that it exposed a covert agent to punish a critic, saying the Department of Justice could handle it fairly. White House spokesman Scott McClellan also denied that chief political strategist Karl Rove played a role, saying Rove had personally assured him that he was not involved. Several Democrats called for a special counsel outside of the Justice Department to conduct the investigation, but the White House has rejected the proposal. Billionaire philanthropist George Soros, whose foundation's network has given $1 billion around the world to various causes to help tackle poverty and disease, has called for a Bush regime change. Soros told BBC Radio 4's United Nations or Not program that the U.S. would only stop pursuing extremist policies if there was a change at the White House. Mr. Soros added that there is a false ideology behind the policies of the Bush administration and has created a $75 million fund under the auspices of a media group called ACT for the purpose of keeping Bush from being reelected. More IE America Network News after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C. Call toll-free 1-866-539-2509 or visit www.legion.org today. The number again, 1-866-539-2509. We'll tell your story where it matters.
A 6-foot-tall, 150-pound statue of Mr. Potato Head was stolen Friday from the driveway of a private estate in Newport, Rhode Island. So far, no ransom note has been found. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Does Burger King have a new fire-grilled chicken baguette sandwich waiting for you? Unfortunately, no. Each one is freshly made to order without waiting for anyone. Like our Santa Fe chicken baguette with juicy fire-grilled chicken, fire-roasted peppers and onions, and a hearty fire-roasted tomato sauce on a fresh-baked baguette, all with only 5 grams of fat. Order your own Santa Fe chicken baguette from Burger King. Come on over. The fire's ready. Not a low-sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
It's 2003. Do you know where you are? Not the physical you, you're right there. But the little digital you that banks, credit card firms, insurance companies, brokerage houses, and other corporations have created from personal information that they've gleaned from you. Information you thought was private. For example, how much liquor have you charged to your credit card? What's your net worth? Have you missed a loan payment? Are you taking medicine for a sexual problem? What's your monthly take-home? Did you make a series of one-nighter trips to Las Vegas last year? All this and more is collected by your financial institutions and, thanks to a little-known law that Congress passed 4 years ago, these institutions now can share all of your personal data, compile it into a detailed profile, and store this digital you inside their computers. But they don't stop there. The Graham-Leach-Bliley Act lets them give you to all of their conglomerate affiliates and to sell you to other corporations under joint marketing agreements. The digital you is their slave. And the actual you doesn't know which corporations have you or what they're doing with you. You can thank former Senator Phil Graham for this theft of your privacy. At the behest of the industry, which coincidentally just happened to be his major campaign funder, Phil dutifully maneuvered this body-snatching bill into law. Graham left the Senate last year and was rewarded with, what else? A fat cat job with a giant financial firm that had lobbied for this bill. This is Jim Hightower saying, if you think that these privacy invaders should not be allowed to use and sell your personal information without getting permission from you in writing, you are not alone. People all across the country are outraged and pushing for action to stop the privacy snatchers. There's both a bill and an initiative in California that would outlaw this corporate intrusion. If it passes there, other states will follow. To join this fight for privacy, go to CaliforniaPrivacy.org.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah. You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. I know. We focused for 2 hours on this Rove thing, on this... But it's not a Rove thing. It is just one more example of the moral and ethical bankruptcy of what is turning out to be the most corrupt administration in the history of this country. It's hard to see each of these events as discrete in and of themselves. It's a flow chart. It's a continuous situation with the Bush crime family. These people are evil. They're thugs and liars. Their administration is populated with convicted felons, populated with people who have had no problem in the last 30 years overthrowing governments, presiding over the execution of entire populations. These are really, really, really evil people. So it is difficult for me to say, well, let's move on from the Karl Rove, Bob Novak story of the outing of a CIA operative and get to some other issues. I guess because of the fury, just the absolute fury. I still feel that the Bush crime family is getting a free pass. I know that, there are elements of media now that are starting to at least try to take their job seriously, the Fourth Estate and all that. But the free pass that this administration has gotten on everything, it's single-handed destruction of everything. When you think that, I don't care if you hated Bill Clinton's guts, this country was in much better shape militarily, economically, and psychically at the end of Bill Clinton's administration than it was starting a week after this little jug-eared bastard from Texas illegally seized power in this country. It's hard to control the fury. It's hard to these are a lot of people think, well, Mike, you got an easy job. Just get on the 3 hours a day to talk about Bush. No, it's not easy. It's not easy for you either. It's not easy for any of us living in this country, living in this society, in this time, this particular time, knowing that the leadership, and I always put quotes around that word when I refer to these thugs, the leadership of this country is criminal. It has no business being there. The American public did not elect it. And every action it has taken since it came to power has been destructive where it concerns the best interests, not just of the American people, but damn near the interests of people globally. They are destroyers. They are killers. And, you could almost except some of that, if you had a sense that they were operating out of a moral imperative, or if they were operating on some, albeit crazed, but some sort of ethical foundation. But they're not. They're just flat-out plain criminals and killers and destroyers. So as these items come up, one after another, day after day, this administration has committed enough violations of the law, if not the letter of the law, certainly the spirit of the law, to keep 10, 15 special prosecutors busy. And having come through the 90s, as you did and I did, when I think about, right, think about this, the energy, the Sturm und Drang, the shrieking and screaming and polarization of this country because Bill Clinton lied about a girlfriend. When I think about what these people put us through, people who built their careers, built their television, albeit cable, but built their cable careers on attacking Bill Clinton endlessly, and somehow, again, whether you like him or hate him, somehow Bill Clinton managed and his government to run this country for 8 years and do it damn well in the overall picture. And I'm not going to continue to qualify every time I talk about Clinton. Well, there's a lot of things that he did I didn't appreciate. There were. That goes without saying. I was not a big Clinton fan, but I would take one Clinton before I would take 10,000 of these little punk-ass, jump-suited, draft-dodging George Bushes. Wouldn't you? Huh? But it's so difficult, isn't it, to treat these daily scandals, these daily butcherings of the truth, whether it's Iraq or Afghanistan. Do you know we are still having our soldiers killed in Afghanistan? Are you aware that? Are you aware that Afghanistan is almost now, with the exception of Kabul, completely back in the hands of the Taliban? Iraq is a situation that the United States of America will never, ever control, will never pacify. There are 200 million Arab speakers who, a large percentage of whom, see our involvement in Iraq. Just leave Palestine and Israel out of it. Our involvement in Iraq as just an inch short of blasphemy, if not blasphemy itself, who will dedicate themselves for the next five generations to killing Americans. There is no way in hell that we are ever going to pacify, democratize, control Iraq. Never, never, never. It is as plain as the nose on my face. Do you not get it? But the Bush crime family, do you know what their latest is? It's on my website, on the front page. I think I captioned it. See if you can read this without screaming. The Bush crime family is now negotiating with and cutting deals with Saddam Hussein's former secret police, the torturers, the people who slowly murdered any dissent over 30 years in that country. No matter what the dissent was, worker dissent, educators dissent, religious dissent, political dissent, we have heard over and over, haven't we, about the torture rooms and the rape rooms? Haven't we heard Bush talk about that? Haven't we heard every right-wing creep on radio talk about, oh, well, the Iraqi people are just so relieved and no more torture? The United States government, Paul Bremer, the proconsul, the dictator du jour in Iraq, is negotiating with the former Iraq secret police to give them a position of authority, because the Americans know that they cannot, not today, not 5 years from now, not ever control Iraq. They need to have Iraqi thugs. They need to have Iraqi bully boys. They need to have Iraqi stormtroopers controlling the population. Now, if that doesn't curse this country into the deepest bowels of hell, I don't know what does. You overthrow a government, destabilize a country, throw it into chaos, kill several thousand of its innocent civilian population, and then you cut a deal with the secret police that tortured and murdered and raped and killed, and you expect the Iraqi people to love us? How many times have we done this? How many times did we do this with the Shah of Iran and Batista in Cuba and Somoza in Nicaragua and Noriega in Panama? How many times have we done this? Marcos in the Philippines. How many times? It's such an outrage. It is just such an outrage. So this latest, if it has the net effect of destroying this filthy, corrupt administration, then thank God. If it has the net effect of sidelining this administration, of throwing sand into the gears of this crime family, then thank God. If the media drop the ball and let this one pass, if the American people just yawn and say, well, it couldn't have been that big of a deal, then damn us all to hell. Damn us all to hell. If that's the case, then I hope, in a very perverse way, because I will not be here, I hope George Bush gets reelected or elected for the first time. I hope whoever serves as his vice president after Cheney's kicks the bucket will be elected for another 8 years, and that this country turns into a fascist, rotten nest of snakes and animals. I will not be here, nor will any member of my family. I will make sure that we all get out of this godforsaken wasteland. That's how strongly I feel about this. If we drop it on this one, now, again, it's difficult to see each of these acts of crime, these criminal acts by the Bush crime family, as being discrete and separate, because they are not. They all flow together. But this one, in its way, this outing of Ambassador Wilson's wife, Plame. I don't know why. I can't remember her name. But her outing and the resulting possibility of death for God knows how many people as an act of snotty, just snotty revenge by this pig Karl Rove. Joe Wilson had the temerity to say, there is no threat. I told them not to put that in the speech. I came back with information. There's no there there. But because these people are Christ-killing liars, they put it in the speech anyway. Because they are defilers of truth, they are defilers of everything just and good that may exist in each and every one of us, they put it back in anyway. They are liars. And because Joe Wilson told the truth, they tried to set his wife up to be murdered. Now, I don't know what to say about that. It's stunning. For me, it's just stunning. For a little piglet like Sean Hannity, I don't know. How does Sean Hannity live with himself? Limbaugh uses his millions just to, destroy whatever sensory perceptions he still has left. That's what I understand anyway. But how do these people, how do they do it? How does this thug Joe Scarborough get on MSNBC? This guy who forced sex on his office help, and then when she got pregnant and Joe Scarborough was, he bows out of the house and winds up on television. How do these people do it? How do they live with themselves? I don't know. So I'm going to try to move on to some other stuff that, need to be talked about when we come back.
And everyone was taken in. Powers chatter in high places. Stir up eddies in the dust of rage. Set me to facing the cage.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hello, Dental Group. Ms. Cole?
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a nasty toothache. Aren't you on vacation?
Camping.
Well, for temporary relief until you see the dentist, get maximum strength Ambisol.
Ambisol?
The same pain reliever in the same strength the dentist rubs on gums to start relieving pain on contact.
Oh, really?
You can't get stronger pain relief without a prescription. Use only as directed.
Ambisol?
Yes, Miss Cole. Maximum strength Ambisol. Dentist strong, so the pain is gone.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
The Mike Molloy Show.
We are going going to do Rumsfeld now?
You know, I talk about doing acid 30 years ago. Rumsfeld must do it daily. Right before he goes out for a press conference, Rummy comes out, all acid-headed up and, you know, just stoned on his ass, just completely freaked out.
Oh, hi. I noticed the doorknobs are all crawling around the ceiling. Hello. Ask me nothing. Get these spiders off of me. Ah! People are waving things at me. There's stuff jumping out of doors. Ew, Jesus. You know, the fire hose on the wall there, it just rose up like a snake. And you're asking me questions like, I don't know this stuff.
This is the Secretary of Defense, Truth Seeker. It's insane. Do you understand? These people are crazy.
So crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animal?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
About the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name Carl.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
Nation where the dictator treated himself to palaces with gold faucets, gold-covered AK-47s.
Gold-covered AK-47s. Every right-winger in America, when they heard that, they got sexually aroused. Okay, I just want to quote a little bit from Buzzflash, and we're going to move on. About Karl Rove, this is one of our callers mentioned this tonight, James Moore, who is co-author of Bush's Brain, The Political History of Karl Rove. Rove's temper has always been his weak spot. He cannot seem to control his anger. When Ambassador Joe Wilson wrote in the New York Times that there was no truth to the allegations that Iraq had tried to purchase yellowcake uranium from Niger, Rove is said to have gone ballistic. No one who has known Rove for any period of time doubts that Rove was the one who orchestrated the leak, which outed Ambassador Wilson's wife as a CIA agent. Rove has always made sure that his enemies know he will strike back, and with deadly power. Rove wasn't just trying to intimidate Ambassador Wilson. If, as many believe, he is responsible for the leak, Rove wanted to send a message to everyone in the intelligence community that they all needed to keep their mouths shut. As the war was being sold, intelligence cooked, and the media spun, Rove and the White House had informed intelligence operatives and scientists that they were not to publicly repudiate the phony claims about aluminum tubes, which the White House falsely argued were part of an Iraqi gas centrifuge to make enriched uranium. One national reporter told me that calls to scientists and intelligence operatives to ask about the aluminum tubes, which turned out to be rocket bodies, yielded the confession the scientists and intelligence agents had been ordered to say nothing. The reporter was told, by the way, we're not having this conversation. But if he leaked Ambassador Wilson's wife's name, Rove was clearly trying to tell everyone in the intelligence community that they needed to toe the line or they might also end up living at risk. This, of course, is a scurrilous, cowardly, and unpatriotic act. To believe that Karl Rove had no knowledge of this leak or that he was not involved, it is necessary to ignore his absolute control of all things political in the White House, his Machiavellian nature, and his attention to every sparrow flying under the Bush sun. And then it skips to Novak. Rose's relationship with Novak is widely known in the Washington press corps. During the presidential campaign, when the chorus of questions was being asked about Mr. Bush and the Texas Air National Guard, reporters wanted to know where Mr. Bush went during his time on assignment in Alabama. His commander said the future president had never shown up for duty. Rove told the campaign reporters that they were, quote, making too much of a few missed meetings, end quote. In 48 hours, the exact language was used on network television by Novak, who described the controversy of Mr. Bush's missing years as, quote, a few missed meetings, end quote. Novak was not on the press plane to hear Rove's original comments. An uncontrolled temper may be Rove's only weakness as a political counsel. In Ron Suskin's Esquire magazine article on Rove, he describes sitting outside the presidential advisor's White House office, hearing Rove scream into the phone, "Tell him we'll F him! We'll F him like nobody ever has!" Only he didn't say F. During the presidential campaign, Rove lost his cool in front of a few hundred people on the tarmac in Manchester, New Hampshire, as I stood and watched while Rove screamed at my colleague, Wayne Slater, about an innocuous story of mostly recycled information. Blah, blah, blah. And if the Bush administration is serious about protecting this country, if Rove committed this treasonous act, he needs to be prosecuted under the Patriot Act he has so ardently supported.
Tar me and feather me, take my girl. I never voted for Richard Pearl. I don't care what it is, I will step right in it before I'd vote for Bill Bennett. They'll take over the world if we let them. They'd like to take over the world, I'm not kidding.
Welcome to Baguette Country. Introducing the Santa Fe Fire Grilled Chicken Baguette Sandwich from Burger King. A juicy breast of fire grilled chicken, sweet peppers and onions, and a hearty fire roasted tomato sauce on our new fresh baked bread. Made to order with only 5 grams of fat. The new Santa Fe Chicken Baguette. Burger King. Come on over. The fire is ready. Not a low sodium food. For complete nutritional info, visit BurgerKing.com.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
For the IE America Radio Network, this is WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm John Hamilton.
And I'm Laura Miller.
Thumbs down to the state of Minnesota's contract proposal to its two largest public employees unions. In a vote tabulated yesterday, nearly 30,000 Minnesota state employees overwhelmingly rejected state offers of 2-year wage freezes and rising health insurance rates that would cost some workers as much as 7 weeks' wages. The vote clears the path for most public employees to strike, provided they alert the state 10 days in advance. However, both unions say they plan to continue to work toward a negotiated settlement. Preparing for a possible strike 2 weeks ago, Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty activated National Guard units who have since been training to take over in nursing homes and similar facilities. Essential employees, like Minnesota's prison guards, are barred from striking and will head into binding arbitration.
Workers at the UK's oldest shipyard have occupied the facility in protest of plans to close it. More than 500 workers at the Appledore shipyard in North Devon chained the gates on Sunday. By Monday, they'd moved heavy equipment to block the entrances, and a couple hundred community members joined the occupation. The shipyard's expected to file for bankruptcy today. So far, the police and the shipyard's owners have left the workers alone.
Fresh off of big wage and benefit reductions brought about by their company's bankruptcy, mechanics at U.S. Airways say they face another threat to their standard of living, job loss. U.S. Airways may soon farm out the heavy maintenance of its fleet of Airbus jets to the lowest bidder. The Mechanics Union, the International Association of Machinists, calls the bid a violation of its labor contract and says it's prepared to take whatever means necessary to prevent the loss of jobs, including a withdrawal of services. U.S. Airways employs about 5,000 mechanics and related employees, mostly in Pittsburgh and Charlotte, North Carolina.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few
stop.
More years
no,
on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Standing up to the flying monkey right, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty-seven before the hour. Jeffrey Connaughton, writing at the Boston Globe today, wants to know who let the Saudis flee after 9-1-1, right? We've mentioned that before. He mentions what we have talked about on this program before, that in the days immediately following September 11th, while the airways were still closed to all other flights, Americans couldn't fly into the country, but relatives of bin Laden were able to fly out. Don't you think the Justice Department and the FBI Inspector General should investigate why these obvious persons of interest were permitted to leave the country without being seriously interrogated? Huh? How many times have we brought that up? Jeffrey writes in the Globe, the American people deserve answers to these questions. Whom did the Saudis call to request government approval of the flights? Who in the government coordinated approval of the flights? Did the FBI receive any communication from the White House about the urgency of permitting these individuals to leave the country? Did any Justice Department or FBI officials express reservations or objections to the decisions? Did any Americans contact the U.S. government to urge approval of the flights? Colin Powell has admitted that the flights were, quote, coordinated within the government, close quote. But he's offered no details about the FBI's involvement. Cheney, he claims no knowledge. When when do we get to that? When do we get to that? Justin is calling from Houston. Justin, welcome aboard.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
Hey, I just wanted to mention, I get a little bit tired of people wanting to compare Bush to Herbert Hoover, especially when they cite all the job losses we've had over the past 3 years. I think, frankly, that's a slam on Hoover. I think it would be more appropriate to compare the man to Hitler.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think so, too. They haven't established the death camps yet. They haven't started moving the liberals and the Jews and the gypsies and the Catholics into the death camps. But they've just...
They would if they could.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Hey, good show tonight, Mike.
Thanks, Justin. Thanks for checking in.
Take care.
All right, sir. CBS News has a question. Of all the big what-ifs surrounding 9-1-1, the biggest by far is, what if our lawmen had connected all those dots? Dots like the fact that some of the hijackers reserved their plane tickets with the same credit card, shared the same frequent flyer numbers, lived in the same house, got their visas in the same place. Some dots practically screamed to be connected, say analysts. Well, now there is such a dot connector. You thought the John Poindexter total information awareness network was dead? Huh? Heard about the Matrix? There's a dot connector, and it's in a nondescript Florida office building inside a bank of computers. Essentially, it combines criminal, public, and commercial information into a single database that cops used to only dream of. It's called the Matrix. It stands for Multi-State Anti-Terrorism Information Exchange. And interestingly, it started in Florida right after 9-1-1. Now, those of you who haven't ruined your short-term memory will remember that about a week prior to the 9-1-1 attacks, Jeb Bush issued an executive order for the state of Florida, placing the state under executive power or state of emergency. Remember that? And it was a little blip, a little story. Everybody went, well, what's this about? And then it kind of disappeared. And then after 9-1-1, a few people dug it up and said, what was this all about? Now, with $12 million in federal funding, it's being used in 13 states, Matrix. Two other states, California and Texas. Texas dropped out over privacy concerns. What Matrix does is it helps police, federal, state, or the military, gather all those electronic bits of information and make sense of them. To cite a favorite example, want to know how many brown-haired men own a red pickup within a mile of any place in America? Ask the Matrix. In theory, there's no limit to what Matrix could learn about you. From your driver's license comes your picture and vital statistics. Property and vehicle records tell all about your car, your home. Criminal records about your past. Business licenses reveal your partners. Marriage licenses, your spouse, or divorce filings, your ex. Civil lawsuits are there, even your magazine subscriptions, and the cost and size of that kitchen add-on. It's all there. The problem, of course, is how do you know who to ask about? The hijackers didn't exactly advertise. There are also Big Brother questions to answer, like who gets to collect the information, under what standard, how long do they get to keep it, how do they use it, who can they disclose it to? And most importantly, can we be comfortable with a computer system that gathers details on all of us in the hope of uncovering just a few? Did you know that was still going on, Truth Seeker? That the total information awareness with all the fanfare that was shut down and John Poindexter, what happened to John? Anybody heard from John Poindexter lately? Huh? Now you know about the Matrix. Oh, forget the movie. This is the reality. Multi-state, anti-terrorism, information exchange. Safely ensconced in Florida. Where the governor of that state, who declared a state of emergency a week to 10 days prior to 9-1-1, makes sure that nobody messes with it. Huh? Remember Afghanistan. You do? Good for you. Well, before we get to Afghanistan, remember Bush saying major combat operations are over, and that's how he spun it, in Iraq? Well, darn. According to the New York Times, yesterday American forces were compelled to call in helicopters, tanks, and warplanes to fight off an ambush by Iraqi insurgents. Insurgents? It's their country. In the rebellious city of Chaldea, that's according to military officials and witnesses, several soldiers were, quote, wounded, close quote. I'm putting the quotes around the wounded. In the firefight, which lasted 6 hours. In a virtually simultaneous ambush just 6 miles away in Habaniya, a soldier was killed when the convoy he was traveling with was attacked with an explosive device and rocket-propelled grenades, according to the Associated Press. A military official said the almost day-long battle in Chaldea, 40 miles west of Baghdad, began just after 9 a.m., when an explosive device detonated as a military convoy of the 82nd Airborne was passing. Guerrillas then opened fire on the disabled convoy with automatic weapons and rocket-propelled grenades. Soldiers in Bradley fighting vehicles, supported by attack helicopters, sought to flush out and destroy the Iraqi fighters in a battle that lasted into mid-afternoon. There were reports of a number of civilian casualties. Local witnesses described a fierce battle with helicopters, fighter jets, and tanks attacking suspected guerrilla positions. The witnesses' account, though, said it had taken several hours for reinforcements to arrive, during which time the Iraqi attackers had run away. The attacks came on a day when the United Nations announced that it had further reduced its international staff in Baghdad to fewer than 50 people. More than 600 staff members were working in Iraq before the car bomb attack on August 19th. Now, what about over there in Afghanistan? Well, a U.S. soldier was killed, two others wounded in a clash with Taliban rebels in southeastern Afghanistan, the U.S. military said today. No other details of the fighting were immediately available. The dead soldier's name was not released, pending notification of next of kin. Taliban fighters have dramatically stepped up operations in recent months. They waged a fierce battle in late August and early September in the mountains of southern Zabul province. Five American soldiers have now died in Afghanistan since the beginning of August, according to official reports. But every time I hear Bush or somebody in his administration talking about Afghanistan and Iraq, well, Afghanistan is a free country now. Afghanistan is finally got a democratic government, you know, Hamid Karzai, the former Unocal oil consultant who now has been installed or was installed several, 3 years ago by the Bush crime family, 2 years ago. But whenever we hear about Afghanistan, isn't it that shining little example of freedom, democracy, and justice now prevailing because of the decisive action in that country taken by the Bush crime family? You know what I read the other day, or today? I read that we will have a military presence in Afghanistan for the next 8 years. How long were the Soviets there before they were finally whacked to the point they had to leave? Wasn't it about 8 years? 79 to, what, 86? Wasn't the adventure by the Soviets in Afghanistan one of the things that finally made the Soviet Union implode? Iraq and Afghanistan. We have men in both places. A total of maybe 150,000 soldiers. Soldiers who could be stateside, who could be in advanced training, who could be getting what they signed up for. These people didn't sign up for war. They signed up for a job. They signed up for education. They signed up to use to learn military practices, military tactics, so that if anyone attacked this country, they could defend it. George W. Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, and Dick Cheney are literally tearing this country to pieces. Bob is calling from Memphis. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Bob.
Big fan of yours. I've been listening to you, I think, since Atlanta.
Oh, my God. Ooh, Lord, that goes back a few, buddy.
I have a question for you before I was going to mention what I called about. I'd kind of like to kind of dig into some ancient history and just get your opinion on something since
okay.
I don't follow the numbers. I didn't actually vote into my first election until 96.
Uh-huh.
The last election, I threw my vote off and voted for Ralph Nader.
Right.
My question to you is, if me and the other, I guess it was at 2%, had voted for Gore, who I was just had no interest in now, I wish I would do anything for have him there compared to what we have, the nightmare we have now.
Yeah.
Would it have made a difference, or is it just so the system so corrupted it wouldn't have made a difference?
If we assume that the votes would have been counted had there been no Ralph Nader in the race in Florida, he took, I think, about 180,000 votes, is that right, in Florida.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He had quite a... Well, Florida, believe it or not, it's not reflected by the Bush administration in Florida, but Florida is a state that's concerned about environmental issues, mainly because they make so much money on tourism, and people don't go there to walk around Tampa. They go there to go to the beaches.
Right.
So it's real important. That's why the Green Party, I think, although Nader was not running officially as a Green, he was running as an independent, but I think the Green Party got that many votes. Now, if we say that, if we say that the Green Party, the people that voted for Nader in Florida, and you'll notice I'm limiting it strictly to Florida because I don't want to get into a big discussion with Greens again. You know, Gore, had he handled his campaign effectively, would have won his home state and Arkansas and West Virginia, and Florida wouldn't have mattered. But he didn't handle his campaign effectively, and we know what happened. But if we're going to accept that Ralph Nader cost Al Gore the presidency by Nader taking that many votes in Florida, then we also have to say that that Ross Perot cost Pappy Bush the election in 92 and gave it to Clinton. Clinton got fewer votes as a percentage of those who voted in 92 than George Bush got in 2000. Okay? I think Clinton had 46% of the vote, or 44% of the vote. Clinton won with a plurality, whereas George W. Bush had, I believe, 49 or 48.9% of the vote. So if we say Nader was the fly in the ointment for Gore, then we also have to say that Clinton never would have been elected in 92. Pappy Bush would have been reelected had it not been for Ross Perot.
Interesting.
I guess. I mean, that's just the gibberish coming out of a talk show host. A political scientist or a party operative would say, no, that's all wrong. Here's the way it really was. But that's the way I look at it, and you did ask me for my opinion. So,
right, I'm glad to hear it. Now, my next question is I am just now becoming politically awake. I mean, I voted, but I haven't really.
Right.
You know, if I knew then, I never would have, you know, voted for, like I said, I would have voted for Gore.
Right.
What can you do? How is it just, somebody, you know, I live paycheck to paycheck. You know, I don't have $10,000 to write, to campaign checks. How are we going to be able to defeat the W? And by the way, the W is, mm-hmm. for many things, should stand for weasel. I just call him the weasel.
Let me think about the question while we take a quick break, and we'll come back and finish up, okay?
Thanks.
All right, hold on, Bob.
The fact is there's these prisoners buried in the sand, mass murdered in containers. The fact is in Afghanistan more died than in New York, and most of them civilians. Hail Caesar! This is what you're fighting for. The king of death row, Texas, elected by his brother-in-law. Hail Caesar! This is what you're fighting for. Oil money. Enron. The American Empire!
Oh, man, this milk smells bad. It tastes funny, too.
Now that's a bad decision. Fortunately, buying a GM-certified used vehicle that's fully reconditioned with a comprehensive limited warranty is always a good decision. GM-certified used vehicles. The right way, the right car. Qualified buyers get 3.9% APR financing on select GM-certified used vehicles from participating Chevrolet, Pontiac, Oldsmobile, Buick, and GMC dealers. Visit GMCertified.com for details.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Yeah?
Have you bought your Halloween candy yet?
Not yet.
Well, I've got the best candy idea for you to give away on Halloween.
Really?
Juicy gummies.
Juicy gummies?
That's right. Juicy gummies are the first gummies made with real fruit juices. They're fat-free and they are so good.
Mmm.
You have to try them all. The peach rings, froggies, creepies, and much, much more. They're all delicious.
Yeah, they are.
Juicy gummies come in playful packages, fun shapes and colors. All the kids will be at your door when the word gets out that you're giving away juicy gummies on Halloween.
Mmm.
Juicy gummies come in 30 and 50 pack bags, so there's plenty of candy for the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And did I mention that these gummy candies are actually made with real fruit juices and fat-free?
Wow.
So if you haven't bought your candy for Halloween, rush on out to Walmart, Kmart, Eckerd's, Dollar General, 7-Eleven, Fred's, Kerr Drugs, Brooks Pharmacy, and many other stores nationwide. Sorry, man, you can't eat all of our samples. Well, this store here sells juicy gummies.
Ooh, thanks.
Look for Juicy Gummies, America's first gummy made with real fruit juices. Boy, they're delicious.
As your boss, I've noticed you've been dragging at work lately. So, take tomorrow off. Here, take the company tickets to the game. Box seats okay? And take my car.
In a guy's perfect world, you'd have it all. Well, now you can. Because Domino's introduces Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Guys like Philly Cheesesteak, guys like Domino's Pizza. Get your medium Philly Cheesesteak Pizza for $9.99, and you can get any second medium for just $5 more. Get the door. It's new Domino's Philly Cheesesteak Pizza. Limited time offer. Prices and terms may vary. You must ask for this offer when ordering.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief. Spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is what took so long-itis. In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple. Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show, where we serve you food with attitude, plus a heaping helping of humor.
And a playful pinch of romance.
It's all about food, family, and fun.
We'll help you juggle kids, kitchen, career, health, and relationships with passion and commitment.
We cover everything from new product reviews and consumer information to quick, simple, and easy recipes just for the two of you.
Plus parenting tips and tricks.
Cooking advice to save time and money.
Nutrition news and healthier living.
Entertainment options for the whole family.
And how to tag team manage kids, career, life, and relationships.
Plus, I'll tell you how to train your in-laws so they don't become outlaws.
So tune in every Sunday from 12 noon to 2 right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, yum, one, two, four, and you.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Hey, conservatives, don't be afraid. Be very afraid. Here's more Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Okay, the question on the table from Bob in Memphis is, if I got this right, since most of us... If we're not living paycheck to paycheck, we have maybe five stashed away. That's I guess that's pretty much where Kathy and I are. But most of us do live on a pretty short leash. So how do we fight back when we don't have a lot of money to defeat this crime family? Is that the gist of what you were saying?
Yeah, it's like, you know, I mean, this guy has got piles and piles of money to throw in his propaganda, you know, campaign to get reelected. What can I do? I mean, I, like I said, I'm just now becoming fully awake.
Well, it's a time-worn answer, but I think it's time-worn because it's true. We just have to educate ourselves to let as many people know the truth And it doesn't have to be profound truth. It could be very pedestrian truth, like, hey, I'm unemployed. Hey, I don't have health insurance. Hey, did you see that Ford Motor Company is going to get rid of another 5,000 jobs? Hey, are you aware that when Bush took office, we had two, 3 years of black ink for the budget, as far as the budget is concerned, and now we're in debt as far as the eye can see? Things like that. Hey, do you understand how our military is being butchered and misused by these thugs? Just conversation like that. That is so far beyond money. By the same token, anybody that has an extra $10, $20, $50, $100, or $500 to send to a political candidate, a Democrat, or a Green, or an Independent, or however you want to do it, I'm, matters not to me as long as it's not a Republican, then do that. That's all I know. I come from a generation where organizing and networking were the two keys to overthrowing political thugs who got into office because of money, chicanery, and lies. And it's amazing. Life has gotten more difficult, more complex. We have fewer hours available. So the idea of networking and connecting with other people might be, it might sound, oh, God, so 60s, so 70s. But people are doing it. I mean, look at the Dean campaign. Look at the Kucinich campaign with the meetups. People getting together. People talking about these issues. I don't think it takes a lot of money. I think what it takes is an electorate, a population that says, you know, we've had enough.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, there's the music. Bob, I hope that helps, and I hope you call again.
You have a great show, as always.
Thanks, Bob.
Bye.
All right, sir. Take care. Program engineered in Detroit tonight by Jay Balicki, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Announcer is Robin Bittman. Many thanks to our music bureau chief, Jim in Arkansas, for all the great music. Mark Marshall of Maximum Interactive, our webmaster. Go to MikeMalloy.com. There's lots of things to do there. And if you go to the message boards, you will be taken care of by our moderators. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. Take care.
You're listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Mr. Rogers' parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when